till we get the website. Good evening, everybody. Shalom Aleichem, I'm Seba. We have a very old minig that Yom Kippur, we wear a talis all day and all night. Usually we don't wear a talis to Ma'ariv. Usually we wear a talis in the morning, Shabbos and Mustaf, but on Yom Kippur we wear it a whole day. And many have the minig that they don't wear a kittel on Rosh Hashanah, only on Yom Kippur. Others have the minig to wear the kittel both on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that in the Sefer Yeshaya and the Novi Yeshaya, he speaks about the two mitzvahs of kibud v'yonig, the karas of the Shabbos minig, the tashem v'chubet, that kibud v'yonig. So the Gemara says, l'kadosh Hashem v'chubet v'yom ha-kippurim. Because the pasuk says previously, v'chibarato me'asoz d'rachech, you should be mechabed Shabbos. And already it says v'chibarato. Then it says, karas of the Shabbos minig, l'kadosh Hashem v'chubet, the second time. So the Gemara says, l'kadosh Hashem v'chubet v'yom ha-kippurim, that's specifically referring, the Novi Yishai is specifically referring to Yom HaKippurim, Shein Bo Lo Achila Shtia, you don't have the Hanoa Zoylam HaZeh, you don't have Tashkin Shamit, the Ola Chamish Sheinu Yom HaRosser, so we don't really have that much Oneg, physical Oneg, on Yom Kippur. So that's why we say you should, the Miri interprets in the Gemara, because you will not be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Oneg, but that's why we try to be mekayim the mitzvah of kibud in a more enhanced form. So one of the forms of kibud is ksus nekia. Rabbi Yochanan Gemara says, he referred to the clothing that he wears as the thing that's mechabed him, that the clothing give him chashivas. He told me that years ago the BBC, the British Broadcasting Network, would insist that the newscasters, the news reporter, wear a three-piece suit. Even though nobody can see them, they can wear pajamas. Why do they have to wear a three-piece suit? No. They know that a person who's dressed with a three-piece suit speaks differently than a person who's wearing pajamas. So that's where Yechan used to refer to his clothing as Mechabdus. So this is the thing that gives me self-dignity. I feel more important because of the nice begotten that I wear. Because on Yom Kippur there is no oneg, that's why we have to be mekayim the mitzvah of kibud in a more enhanced form. So that's why we wear a kittel all day and we wear the talis all day and all night. We'll be mekayim the kedosh Hashem mechubet Yom Kippur, that we want to have more kibud. Of course, in Shulchan Aruch it says one should be careful to put on the talis mibol yom. You have to come to shul before the shkia. Because the Gemara learns out from the pasuk Urisim Zchartim is called Mitzvahs Hashem. The pasuk in the third parasha of Kriyash Vayomer, where it talks about tzitzis, that says Urisim also pratak suf laila. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes that the machlik is between the Rosh and the Rambam. The Rosh represents the Balei Atesus. The Balei Atesus hold that it's only suf laila, but the pajamas, but malbush that's miyuchot for laila is part of from tzitzis. But if you have a ksus yom balayla, if you're wearing a talis balayla, then you would be mechuyev to put on tzitzis since you have bracha. Whereas according to the Rambam, even on the lashon of Gemara, it is most about the ksus layla. It doesn't mean so much. It's not a din in the ksus. It's a din in the zman. There is certain mitzvah that is man and bayom, and certain mitzvah that is man and balayla. Tfiyah shayfer and lulav is only bayom. And the other mitzvahs are Korban Pesach is only balayla. You're not say bayom. Sviyas Haimer is balayla. Fine. So in Shulchan Aruch they say it's machlekes. The Rambam and the Rosh representing what the Balei Atesa is. The Rosh and the Balei Atesa hold it's only a ptura and ksus layla. But a ksus yom bayom, a ksus yom balayla, a talus balayla. A talus is not a ksus layla. Talos balayla would be chayv in tzitzis, you would say bracha. Whereas according to the Rambam, laila is patur. So if you're going to put on a talos balayla, it'll be a machlokes. The Rambam and the Rosh, whether you're supposed to say a bracha or not. So what's the big problem? So you put on the talos, so you don't say a bracha. No. So there's a famous taz in Hilchas Lichas. The taz has in Hilchas Lichas. He says the minhag always was that you say slichas in the middle of the night, either. Based on the Zohar, you say Slichas at Chatzos. Or you say Slichas before, at least you begin, before Alos HaShachar. And it's still Laila. After Alos HaShachar, then it's considered Yom. But before Los HaShachar is Laila. So in Shulchan Aruch it says the talis should, the chazan, the shleach tzibur for slicha should put on a talis because vayyav Hashem apanam vayyam alamnei v'nisata v'akadosh baruch hu k'shleach tzibur. When Moshe Rabbeinu had this vision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu reciting the Yud Gimel Midas Hashem Hashem Kalrat Mechanan, so he visualized the Rebbe Shalom as a human being who's wearing a talis, like in Daniel. Daniel envisions, has a vision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as an old man wearing with long white hair. His hair was Ka'amar Noka, like clean wool, like tzemanoki, with the vusheket black chiver, and the malbush that the Rebbe Shalom was wearing was a talis. That's how the mekubalim understand. And it was a white, the vusheket black chiver, it was like shelek lavan. The Rebbe Shalom was wearing a white talis. So Moshe Rabbeinu had the same vision. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is wearing a talis and reciting. Is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu k'shleach tzibur? Shleach tzibur has to wear a talis. That's what the post can say would appear even by Mincha Maariv should wear a talis, not only by Shachris, but always wear a talis. Shliach Tzibur should wear a talis. So the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu wearing a talis as a Shliach Tzibur. Vayav Hashem alpana miloshen oiva lefnei teva. The Rebbeinu Shlom is like a chazan, is oiva lefnei teva. And he told Moshe Rabbeinu, "Cause man shabane choytim yasa lufani kesei the hazeh mani mochalahem. Let the chazan get up. Let them say yud gimel midas, and they should do tshuva and viva, and I will forgive the bnei yisrael." So that's our practice. So the Tanya says, in the middle of the night, you say slichas in the middle of the night before Los HaShachar. So if the chazan is going to put on his own talis, then it's going to be a machlokes, the Rambam and the Rosh, but they say broche. So that's not proper to do a mitzvah without saying a bracha. The Taz implies as if there is an iser. It's not an iser deraisa. It just means that it's an iser derabbanan. Absolvation was fond of pointing this out in the shiurim that the Rambam has a lashon in Hilchas Brachas that kishem shetiknu chachamim, just like the chachamim made a takonim that you have to recite brachas in and also lahanas menolam hazeh b'lay brachas. So good, they made a takonim that you have to recite the Birchas HaMitzvah before you perform a mitzvah. What kind of a lashon, just like so too? Here you say, Shehakol Mizaynes HaOitzi Bari Pri Adama Bari Pri Yoetz. This is a different bracha, Birchas HaMitzvah and bracha. Why does he compare it? So from the Rambam it would appear that just like the Chachamim instituted Oseh Lehanes Manol Mazeh B'lai Bracha, it's prohibited to be Nenem Manol Mazeh without saying a bracha, and the bracha serves as a matir. So too, it's prohibited by the Rabbana to do a mitzvah. You want to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu to come closer to him. You can't just walk up to the White House and knock on the door and say, I'm here, I want to talk to the President of the United States. You have to make an appointment in advance. You have to have hachanas in advance. So too, you want to perform a mitzvah and become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You need a matir for that. So the matir will be the reciting of the bracha. That's how Rav Soloveitchik explained. That's why the Rambam is insistent that if one, all the bichas and mitzvahs have to be recited prior, immediately before performing the mitzvah. What if a person did the mitzvah and he forgot to say the bracha? I attended a few weddings over the course of many years where the grandfather of the chassan or the kala was Mesada Kiddushin, and because it was his grandchild, he had been Mesada Kiddushin so many times for the balabatim, because it was his grandchild, he was so excited and so emotional, he forgot all about saying the Birchas Erusin before the chassan said Hariyat. So had the chassan give the ring, say Hariyat Mekudeshesli, then he's up to Kriyas Aksana. And someone said, what do you mean? You didn't say the Birchas Erusin yet. But the Rambam says, if the chassan already gave the ring to the Kala, he said Hariyat, it's Farfalm, you lost your chance, you can't say the Birchas Erusin. Mashanasa, Kranasa, it's Farfalm. You cannot say the bracha lach ras yosef. And it's a question whether we paskan like the Rambam, because the Yerzarua is one of the leader Balei HaTosfos. The Shachan Yeridei in Simi Yudes quotes this. The Simi Yudes in Yeridei is all about the Birchas HaMitzvah, Birchas HaShchita. That before you're about to shech the Behema, you have to recite the Birchas HaShchita. Shekel Shams HaShchita. So what's the din if you shecht an animal and for some reason or another you didn't say the bracha in advance, can you say the bracha lachar asiyosam after you finish the shechitas? According to the Rambam, you cannot. And according to the Ozarua, you may. And the question, it's a little unclear exactly how there are more paskins. They're in Stim and you test about that child. So why does the Rambam hold that you cannot say the bracha lachar asiyosam? So the Shach quotes the Gemara in Brachas, and the Gemara sounds like that. That just like Birchas Hanen in his Amatir, and if I already ate the food and I didn't say bracha, I can't say bracha afterwards to be mata lamafreya ex post facto. I'll make an muta. I violated the isim of the Rabbanan of eating without saying a bracha. I can't be mata lamafreya. So too, unless I have more food to eat, I'm in the middle of eating and I forgot to say shahakalo hadoma in the beginning, then I can say the bracha in the middle and the bracha is chal on what I'm going to eat from now on. But if I already finished eating everything that I have to eat, I don't have any more to eat, then the Gemara says, no, if I finally can't say brichas hanenin after you already ate, because brichas hanenin is supposed to be matir, can only be matir mikana labo, can't be matir lamafreya. So the Gemara there seems to say the same is true regarding a brichas hamitzvah, that you can't, poshib shat in the Gemara, the Shach says, reads like the Rambam, that Birchas HaMitzvah is also a matter mid Rabbanan. It's not proper, it's not derech eretz to perform a mitzvah without having the heter of reciting a bracha in advance. And that's what the Taz writes. It's really not right to put on a talis balayla, to put on your own talis. If the Taz writes, put on someone else's talis, so then you don't say a bracha anyway, unless you have a mind to be koine. So he says, don't have a mind to be koine, and there won't be a shy love of a bracha. But to put on your own talis, the chazan is going to dab ma'ariv, he's going to be the Baal Tefillah dab ma'ariv anomit, or he's going to be the shlech tzibur for slicha. He's going to put on his own talis in the middle of the night. So that's not right, because it's a question whether you say a bracha. It's a ksus yom balayla machlekes the Rambam in the Rosh and Taisus, whether you say a bracha. So you're going to fulfill a mitzvah without saying a bracha. That's not proper. There's an isim in the Rabbanim to do a mitzvah without saying a bracha. One of the Musmachim from Yeshiva told me that when his wife had their first baby, they had a baby boy, so he invited Rav Soloveitchik to come be the sandik by the bris in New Jersey. So he was surprised Rav Soloveitchik showed up. So they wanted to give him a talis, that he should wear a talis when he's a sandik. So he said, it's a shayla of a suffix bracha, so he doesn't want to. Why? The din is that a talis shu'ul, if I borrow a talis from someone else that doesn't has four corners in it, but it doesn't have any tzitzis. So the Gemara says, Tala Shehula, you're not mechuyev to put tzitzis. Akamfas, alaba akamfas, chuscho, ashetach, asabo, chuscho, min shalcho. If the chus is mine, then I'm mechuyev to put on tzitzis. If it doesn't belong to me, I borrowed it from someone else, you're not mechuyev. Tala Shehula is ptura kol lamed yom. After lamed yom, then you're mechuyev mitam marisayim to put on tzitzis on the Tala. So Taisvis is mesupik. Taisvis is in the beginning of Perakalabasa. Is mesupik, what if I borrow a talis from someone else that does have tzitzis? Do I recite a bracha or not? Igmar just says, talis shula, you're not mechuyev to put tzitzis in. But if you borrow a talis that does have tzitzis, maybe you should say a bracha. Why? Why should you say a bracha? So Rav Soloveitchik explained, it's not shalcha. You're not being mekayem any mitzvah. Yedilim tasa lecha, alarba kafas ksuscha, shetacha seba, is only if it's shalcha. If it's not shalcha, you're not mekayem anything. But at the time that I wear the baguette, then the owner of the talis is mekayim mitzvah. If a person has a talis in the drawer, and the talis has tzitzis, if a person has a four-cornered garment in the drawer, so the Gemara has a machlokes about that, whether a klei kupsa, if you have a baguette that's in the drawer, it's in a box, a four-cornered baguette. Is it chayv and tzitzis when you're not wearing it, or is it only chayv and tzitzis when you wear it? So we paskin that klei kupsa not chayv and tzitzis. Why? Because it doesn't. It's taka. It has a shame beged b'negiyah to kabbalas tumah. A beged is a kli and it's mekabel tumah. So even though I'm not wearing the talis is in the talis ekel. It's mekabel tumah now, but it doesn't have a shame beged with respect to the mitzvah of tzitzis. It says gedino tasel chalak b'kamfus kus chashet echasepa. Only when you're wearing the beged. When you're not wearing the beged, it doesn't have a shame beged, but again to the chi of tzitzis. So that's what Tosis is mesupik. The beged belongs to Reuven, and he lends it to me. I'm wearing the beged. So that gives the beged a shame beged. So the owner of the beged is not mekayim the mitzvah of having tzitzis on his begging. Rav Soloveitchik explained that two parshias in the Chumash. One parsha tells that there's a mitzvah that I should wear tzitzis. That's if the beged is mine and I'm wearing the beged with tzitzis, I'm again the mitzvah of Levisha's tzitzis. There's another mitzvah, and if I have a four-cornered beged, it's a chaybas talis, I should see to it that I should have tzitzis. So if the four-cornered garment is in the drawer, no one's wearing it, it's a machlekes, we pass, and you're not mukhayim in tzitzis. If someone is wearing the beged, even though it's not Reuven, not the owner of the beged, so that's what Taisa says, maybe even if someone else wears the beged, he gives the beged a shame beged, and the owner of the beged is yotzei the mitzvah. So Taisus was misupik, if you borrow a talis from someone else, maybe, and has tzitzis, maybe you should say brach. That's what Rav Soloveitchik didn't want to borrow a talis either, even though he had in mind not to become the talis. The Taz says, if you take the talis shel beis haknesses, or you take the talis shel achim, and you have in mind not to be kind of, so there's no suffix brach. So Rav Soloveitchik did that. The Taz says not so. The Taz says if you borrow someone else's talis and already has tzitzis in it, so they're mesupik, maybe you should say bracha. But if it's balayla, then it'll be a machlekes. So he wanted to avoid that also. Yeah, so that is the minig on Yom HaKippurim. On Yom HaKippurim, we have this same minim as Shabbos, not the same as Yom Tov. There's no hetar echal nefesh. Even though there are people who are permitted to eat, little children are allowed to eat, and all the people who are chayla misakonim are allowed to eat, but there's no hetar echal nefesh. There's no chiyuv misa for one who does malocha on Yom Kippur, but there is an oinish kares. But then in addition to the isa malocha on Yom Kippur, you also have the chamisha inuyim. The chamisha inuyim are achilo shtia count as one. And the Gemara says, anevesh lo suna v'nichrisa, there's kares on achilo shtia, but on the other inuyim, there's no kares. On sicha, in nilas asandal, on tashm shamita, and rechitza, there is no kares. So Taisus quotes the Rabbeinu Tam, Taisus Anida quotes the Rabbeinu Tam is of the opinion that from the Chamisha Inuim, only Achilu Shtiyah is there, right? So all the others are only Midirabbanu. But how can you have an Iser that sometimes it has Kari, sometimes it doesn't? Manavshach. So this leads the Rabbeinu Tam to believe that only Achilu Shtiyah is the Nisim is Navshastechem, Inui, and the other Chamisha Inuim is all Achumra Midirabbanu. The Gemara learns everything out from Pesukim, but a lot of times it's difficult to tell whether the Gemara meant it as an Asmachta, the Gemara meant it as a Drosh Gemur. So Rabbeinu Tam holds that the Gemara meant it as an Asmachta. And the Rambam, the Achrenim say, from the Rambam it would appear that he thinks all the Chamisha Inuyim are a Din Deraisa. And nonetheless, there's only Koros on Achilush there, there's no Koros on the others. The Rabbeinu Tam's argument, how can you have five prohibitions and one Pasuk, Minismas Nafshin Sechem, there's only chorus on one, on Achilu Shtiyah, there's no chorus on the other Inuyim, and the Rechitza, and the Sicha, and the Tashmim Shamita, not such a strong kasha. We find by Dam, we have a pasuk like that you're not allowed to eat Dam, and whoever eats Dam is chayv chorus, but not every Dam. Let's say I take a piece of raw meat, and I squeeze out the Dam, and I eat that Dam. That's Dam HaEvarim, and that is not Kores. Dam Shanasham Yotzebod is Kores. The Dam that comes up is Shashchita, or the Dam HaKon is Belev, and that the Rambam says this Kores. So you have the Gemara in Krisis. There's a name of the Perek in Krisis, the Perek Dam Shchita. So the Gemara explains that the Psukim mentioned five times you're not allowed to call Dam Lasachelu, and it includes all the different kinds of Dam. Sometimes the Issa Deraisa has Kores. Sometimes it doesn't have Kares, so it's not such a strong argument. Another argument that Rabbeinu Tam has is the Mishnah says that a melech is permitted to wash his face on Yom Kippur, and a woman who just had a baby or a kala who just got married recently is permitted to wash her face on Yom Kippurim. So if it's only Rabbanon, so there's room to be medical, but if it's an Issa Deraisa, there isn't even a Sfek Sfek of a Sofek Sakana yet. To be matter and isa deraisa, you have to have at least a suffix sakana. So how can there be mekel on rechitza? Because melech biopio techazena einecha, a pasuk that says the king should always be dressed just so. So the king should always wash his face. And the kala just got married, so we want that she should be nice and in a bailo. So what's the heta? If he's going to divorce her, he's going to kill her. A sex fake, he's going to kill her. There's no suffix sakana. So the Rishayim defend the Rabbeinu. The Rishayim say that the Rabbeinu Tam's kasha is not insurmountable. The Rambam can insist that to take a shower, to take a bath, would be an Isa deraisa. That's Rechitzas Kol HaGuf. But Rechitzas Mitzvahs Men HaGuf, or if you're only going to wash your face, or you're only going to wash your hands, that'll only be an Isa deRabbanan. They're maskim. They're maskim at the Rabbeinu Tam. The fact that the Mishnah allows a kala. Bizman Hazeh, we daven in shul all day long. So that's in Shulchan Aruch. It says today we don't allow the kala to wash her face, because the chosan is not going to see her anyway. She's going to be davening in the men's section all day. She's going to be davening in the women's section all day. So they're not going to see each other bein kovakom. But in the days of the Tanaim, that the davening, they used to make shiduchim on Yom Kippur. They didn't daven all day long in the days of the Tanaim on Yom Kippur. So then they had the heter that the kala is allowed to wash her face. So that seems to imply clearly that at least Rechitzas Mitzvahs Men HaGuf is only the Rabbanan. That's what the Tosfos Yerushalmi answers on the opening Mishnah and the last pair. All the dinim, the whole Maseches Yuma talks about the Avodas Yom Kippur, about the Karbonis, except for the last pair. The last pair talks about the Chamisha Inui. So the opening Mishnah and the last pair, the Tosfos Yerushalmi printed on the bottom of the page, quotes this issue, whether the Shari Inuyim are deraisa derabbanan, Chilush Tia are clearly an Issa deraisa, v'haray that is Koris, the Pasuk said there's Koris. But on the others, but there's no Koris, that's the Machloikis. So the Mishnah says that the Kala Rechetzes Paneho and the Melech is Rechetzes Panov. So that shows at least that Rechetzes Mitzvahs Men HaGuf is only the Rabban. Achreinim are bothered with Akasha that in Taka, in the last Perik in Yuma, there is a Machloikis of Yechon and Reish Blokish regarding Chatzis Shir. If a person eats a Kazais of Chazra Kazais of Asbuchol of the volume of an olive, a kazayis is either shlish beitz or chatzi beitz. It has to be a zayis beinani. And a zayis beinani is a question, is it the volume of a half an egg or is it the volume of a third of an egg? And it has to be a beitz of beinanis. So we don't know exactly what a beitz of beinanis is. The beitz of beinanis is not the regular beitzim that we see in this store. When I was growing up, when I was a little boy, the eggs were much smaller. Now all the smaller eggs, they make mayonnaise out of that. They crack them open and they only sell large size or jumbo size eggs in the store. So all the eggs that we get are not really Beitz HaBeinonis. They're Beitz HaGedolos already. So the Zayas is either a Shlish Beitz HaBeinonis, a Zayas Beinoni. It's either a Shlish of a Beitz HaBeinonis or a Chatzi Beitz HaBeinonis. So the Gemara has a machlokes of Yechon Reish Lakish. What if a person eats a kazais of non-kosher food, so they'll give a malchus if they're eidim hasra. If a person eats less than a kazais and say there's no malchus, doesn't mean that it's muta min haTorah. Because ain't achila b'chusim kazais. It's muta ba'ano. He got ano, but it's muta the basa b'chalav is asa ba'ano. Okay, but nevela treifa is muta ba'ano. It's only asa b'achila. So he say, "Ein achila p'chusim kazais." He didn't do an achila. Or should I say, "No, that chatzis shira asman atar." So we pass from like Rabbi Yochanan, the chatzis shira is asman atar. But that's what Achreinim ask on this Tosfos Yerushalmi. How can the Tosfos Yerushalmi say that maybe you're really entitled to an opinion? You can really hold like the Rambam that rechitzas kol haguf is the inuyim aderaisa to take a bath, to take a shower kol haguf. Is an Issa deraisa, but to only bathe, mitzvahs men haguf, only to wash the face, only to wash the hands, that's only an Issa derabbanan, and that's why the Chachamim have the right to be mekel for the melech and for the kala. Why? Mitzvahs men haguf should be an Issa of chatzi shira asman haTorah. If the whole shira is to wash kala guf, so to wash mitzvahs men haguf should be chatzi shira asman haTorah. So the Achrayim answer, the Ragat Shover has an expression that makes a lot of good sense. He says there are two types of a shear. Sometimes there's a shear mitztareif, it accumulates, let's say chaza. Less than a kazais, also chaza. Or less than a kazais, also nevela treifa. The only thing is, you have to eat a little more. You have to eat a kazais. You have to swallow the volume of a kazais in order to get malchus. But if you ate less than a kazais, it's a shear mitztareif. Masheni came over here, Rechitzes Kol HaGuf, that's what he coins an expression, that's a Shir Nekuda. Until you have the Shir, you don't even have the Chal HaShem at all. It's not called Rechitza. Let's say, to take a shower. So would anybody say in English that to wash your hands as a chatzushir of taking a shower? No, taking a shower means kol aguf. The loshen means kol aguf. The mechitzas mitzvah min aguf is not even a chatzushir of mechitzas aguf. Anyway, so that's the big shaila, whether the chamisha inuim, all the chamisha inuim are deraisa, or only achil shtiyah, because the skaris and all the others are the rabban. We'll speak a little more about this a little later. How do these two relate together, the Issa Achila and the Issa Malocha on Yom Kippur? Absolvechik used to tell us that the meaning where he came from was that all year long the women would bench lich 30 minutes before the Shkia on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov, and on Yom Kippur, Erev Yom Kippur, they would bench lich 60 minutes before Shkia. Why double? As a child, he was always very inquisitive. He would always ask. He was always inquisitive. So even when he grew up, as a child, he asked, why is it twice as long? So they told him 30 minutes to Sefes Yom Kippur for Malacha and 30 minutes to Sefes Yom Kippur for Inuyim. So he said he never understood what that means. It's one Kedusha Sayyim. That's Mechayev in, the one Kedusha Sayyim is Mechayev in any Inuyim. And it asks the malacha. So what do you mean 30 minutes for this, 30 minutes for that? It's all the same Kedushayim. It didn't understand. Why do they distinguish? Why do you say that on Erev Yom Kippur, you have a Tosefes Yom Kippur of 60 minutes, and a normal Shabbos, you have a Tosefes Shabbos of only 30 minutes? You also mention the Rambam holds that Tosefes Masif and Mechoy Lelakodesh only applies to Yom Kippur, doesn't apply to any other Shabbos or any other Yontif. That seems to be the Rambam's opinion. And we don't pass like that. We recommend, the Mechaber says, that he recommends you should make Masif and Mechol Al HaKadosh every Shabbos and every Yontif. The Shabbos is for now, and the Shabbos to Bacharel. You should be Mechaber Shabbos early. You can extend, and you should, you ought to extend Shabbos later, past the Tzeisat Kochavim. But the Rambam's opinion is that there's no inyan at all. There's no chiyuv, not minator, not minirabon. It's not even chal. Even if you volunteer to be mosim chal hakodesh, it's not even chal. The whole inyan of Tosefes only applies to Yom Kippur. So the Magen Mishnah writes, and that Rambam, he thinks that according to the Rambam, there's only an inyan of masif and mechol al hakodesh on Yom Kippurim with respect to the Inuim, not with respect to the Malacha. So Rav Soloveitchik said he never understood that Magen Mishnah. He didn't think that it was right. You mean it's one Kedusha Sayyim, that's Mechayiv and Malacha and Mechayiv and Inuim. So once you say that it's a Din Masif and Mechol Al HaKadosh, you have to be Masif onto the Kedusha Sayyim. You should make Tosef is both Benegir to the Malacha and Benegir to the Inuim. Not like the Magen Mishnah that you only make Masif and Mechol Al HaKadosh by Yom Kippur with respect to the Inuim. Years later, we looked in the Sefer Merkabas HaMishnah, the Talmidim look. Merkabas HaMishnah is a running commentary on the Rambam. Whenever there's a problematic Rambam, the Merkabas HaMishnah usually gives the most simple push-up shot. Never has anything fancy, new interpretation, always flat push-up shot. And Rav Soloveitchik told us that he remembers Rav Chaim from time to time would say that Merkabas HaMishnah is right, that the push-up shot in the Rambam is the correct shot. So here also, the Merkabas HaMishnah has that time that the Rav Soloveitchik had against the Magen Mishnah. How can the Magen Mishnah say that according to the Rambam, the Din of Masif and Mechol Al HaKodesh and Yom Kippur only applies to the Inuyim, but it's one Kedusha Sayyam, that's Mechayiv and Issa Meloche, and Asas the Inuyim. So if there already is a Pasuk that there's a Din Masif and Mechol Al HaKodesh, so it should be Benegir to the Meloche as well. Then there's a third source that's Taka Siriya Shaila. And Yom Kippurim, there was a Soir HaMishtalech. They had Shnei Seirei Izim, and they did a Hagrola. They would have a lottery to be Koveh, which is the Soir LaShem, which is the Soir LaZozo. And the Soir LaZozo, you had to have an Ish Iti, Ayin Tof Yud, Ish Iti, means it was Mezum Lekach from Erev Yom Kippur. They would designate before Yom Kippur who's going to be the Ish Iti. It had to be a person who was interested. And he had to take the Sori HaMishtalef to a cliff that was 11 milin away. It takes 22 and a half minutes approximately to walk a mil. So 11 milin is going to be a few hours of a march. on Yom Kippur, and he has to take this Sarim Shtalef to a cliff, very far away, and push it over the cliff. That's how the Gemara says, T'chiyasala tzuk zui shchitasa. The Gemara has it been geared to the din of Osevi Ezbenai, that the din of Osevi Ezbenai Shara said, Osevi Ezbenai Lishishchatu B'yayim Echod, you're not allowed to shecht Osevi Ezbenai on the same day, applies both to Chulin and to Kochin. So what happens if I have, but the prohibition of Osevi Ezbenai is only violated if you did shchit on both, on the Oso and on the Beno. So what if one of them I made in the veil, one of them I shot, I choked it or something, I didn't do a proper shchita, so then there's no issa to shef the other one. So what if one of them I used as the soir ha-mishtaleach? One of them I used as the soir ha-mishtaleach, the other one I'm going to use as a carbon on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, no, the chiyosalat tzuk zui shchita. So since the Torah prescribes this specific form of killing the soir ha-mishtaleach by pushing it over the cliff, so that would be included in the Yisra of Osu. If you did Chiyal Atzuk and the Zohar Mishtalech, and you did a Shchita on another goat, one is an Osu Ezmano, it would be a violation of this Yisra. So the Kohen Gadol has to hand over, first he does Hagrola, and the Shnei Siri Yom Kippur, he determines which is going to be the Zohar Lashem, which is that you're going to shecht it in the Beis HaMikdash and do the Azos Adam in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and in the Echel in front of the Peroiches, then the leftover Adam is going to be Mazah on the Mizbech HaPnimi once a year. Usually the Mizbech HaPnimi is only for Ketores, and you're not Zorik any Dam, but once in a long, long while you Zorik Dam on the Mael Chatoz HaPnimi, so you Zorik the Dam on the Mizbech HaPnimi. So the So the Mishnah says that when the Ishiti is taking the Sarei Mashtalech to the cliff, to the Tzuk, to push it over the cliff, it's a few hours walk. 11 milen. Each mil takes 22 and a half minutes to walk. So it's going to be quite a walk. So every mil, there's another sukkah. And they say, if you want to rest up, sit down and rest up over here. Then they tell him, Hari Mayim, Hari Mazan. If you're thirsty, if you're hungry, we have a lot of food. Why did they tell him that? Hari Mayim, Hari Mazan. So the Meforshim have two pshatim there. The one pshat is just in case the Ishiti feels that he's going to die. He feels that he's in a situation of a suffix, Sakanas Nefoshes. So they tell him, don't worry, we have food. You don't have to die. We have food, and if you're in a state of Sakonis Nefoshes, you're certainly permitted to eat. But Poshib Shat doesn't seem like that. Poshib Shat seems to be Hari Lechem, Hari Maim, Hari Mazah, means like this. In case you feel you don't have enough kach to walk another couple of hours till you get to the Tzuk, to push him up, to push over the Zohar Mishtalech, over the cliff, and you feel that you need a chocolate bar or an orange in order to get the instant energy, so they tell him, Hari Maim, Hari Mazah, we have food here. And if you feel you don't have enough kerech without eating food, so don't eat the food, still have kerech to do the chiyos alatzuk. So that's what the Rashash discusses in his commentary in the back of the Vilna Shas. Is that true? Is that in is that the korbanis, the zmanam kavua, like minimum zaf, is the korban shizmanam kavua. Zmanam kavua means avayam, a bottle of korbanis. You have to bring the korban today. You don't bring it today, you can't bring it tomorrow. So then such a korban, the Zman HaKavua, is Decha Shabbos and Decha Yantav and Decha Yom Kippur. So the Ish Iti, if it's necessary for him, let's say, to do some halacha in order to bring the Sar HaMashtalech to the cliff, in order to push it over the cliff, that's considered one of the korbanos on Yom Kippur. So that's Decha Shabbos, that's Decha Yom Kippur, that he's allowed to do that. So is he also, what if he has to violate the Isar Achila on Yom Kippur? He doesn't have enough koyach to go so long, a three, four hour run to the cliff, to push it over the cliff. Would we put in him, do we say it's one Kedusha Sayyim that Asas be Malacha and that Asas be Inuyim? So therefore, just like he's permitted to do Malacha if it's necessary in order to accomplish the goal, in order to push over the cliff, because when you bring korbanos on Yom Kippur, You do shchita, shchita is a malacha. Then you're going to do haktor, you're going to burn the emurim. That's a malacha of havara. And then the being zarek to dam is a malacha of the rabbon and a makav apatish. That's misakin mona. Because the zrikas adam is machsha the korban. So they're doing malachas deraisa, malachas derabbanan, but that's mutter. That's the halacha says, any korban shizmana kavua is doicha malachas Shabbos, and malachas yantam, and malachas yom kippurim as well. But the question is, should I say, it's one kedusha sayayim of yom kippur, that's machayiv, and inuyim and machayiv, and malacha, so it's just like the ishiti is permitted to do malachas in order to be makar of the carbon in order to push the sorry mashtalech over the cliff. That's like hakrovas hakarbon. So too, we should say he's allowed to eat if he doesn't have enough kayach. He can't give it to someone else because the other person is not an ishiti. Ishiti means he was designated in Bo Yom, an Erev Yom Kippur. He is the ishiti. So that's a question. Is that pshat in the Mishnah feasible? Because the Gemara seems to say that achila shtiyah is also Yom Kippur. And there's no head to b'malacha mitzvah. So the Rashash asks, but what is Hari Mazen? What are they offering him food to eat? The answer is no. They're offering food in case he feels he's about to die. It doesn't fit in. The Pashtas doesn't sound like. It sounds like they're offering him food in case he feels he's not strong enough, he doesn't have enough kef to do the job. He's allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. That's Takeh Shailah. Is it permissible? Then the Rashash also points out there is a Gemara in the first parak in Masechus Moed Katan, where the Gemara says that the year that Shlomo HaMelech completed the building of the Bais Rishon, so he celebrated, and it says that he celebrated Shivas Yamim and Shivas Yamim. So the Poshe Pshat in the Pasuk is he celebrated Chanukah's Bais Rishon for 7 days, and then the seven days were the last 7 days immediately preceding Sukkot. That includes Yom Kippur, who was in the middle of the 7 days. And then everybody remained in Yerushalayim. They celebrated Sukkot for another 7 days. Shivas Yam, Shivas Yam. So the Gemara says, Osa Hashana, that year that Shlomo HaMelech completed the building of the Bais Rishon, the Bnei Yisrael ate on Yom Kippur. Why'd they eat on Yom Kippur? So the Gemara says, Shlomo HaMelech made a kavachayma. That in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, they only built the Mishkan. The Mishkan is only temporary in nature. It has areas and it has and it moves. You go from one location to the other. There were Membeis Masoros. There were 42 cities that kept on traveling from one to the other. So Madach in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, that it was only a temporary. The Mishkan was only temporary in nature, and nonetheless, they were permitted to. The Nisim were permitted to bring Karbonos on Shabbos. They brought Karbonos 12 days in a row. 12 days in a row, you always have at least one Shabbos in the middle. Maybe you have two Shabbos, but you have at least one Shabbos in the middle. So there are Mechalal Shabbos. Shabbos is Mochamad and Yom Kippur. And it was only a Mishkan. So when you have the Beis HaLamim, when you finish the Beis HaMikdash, that's Kitshut. The Beis HaLamim means a permanence, not the temporary Mishkan. A Beis HaMikdash, a permanence. So that should be a Kal V'chaymer, that it should certainly be Doche Yom Kippur. Because Yom Kippur is not as Chomer as Shabbos. Shabbos is one is Mechal Shabbos is Chayiv Misa. One is Mechal Yom Kippur is Chayiv Kares, Chayiv Malkas, but you're not Chayiv Misa. So the Gemara says it should be a Kal V'chaymer. So based on the Kal V'chaymer, they ate on Yom Kippur. Shlomo HaMelech Paschal, they're allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. And then after Yom Kippur was over, he was wondering, maybe he made a mistake. Maybe the Kal V'chaymer is not correct. So Paschal came out from heaven and said, Kulchem Zemanim L'chayiv Ho'elam Abba. So that's a question. What's pshat in that Paschal? The Paschal said that the Psak of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Psak of Shlomo HaMelech is correct, is accurate. And just like you're allowed to do Malacha on Shabbos to bring the Karbonos HaNesiyim at the time of Chanukah HaMishkan in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, so too, you're allowed to violate the Einuyim for the purpose of Chanukah's Bais Rishon. Was that, is it Takemuta? Or did he say, no, you're only permitted to do Malachas, but you're not allowed to violate Einuyim. So that's the Rashash points that there seems to be a contradiction. That Gemara that says, they all ate on Yom Kippur seems to say that just like for the purpose of Chanukah's Hamishkan, we allow Chilul Shabbos, Malacha, so too, for the purpose of Chanukah's Bais Rishon, we will allow violation of the Hamisha Inuim, to eat on Yom Kippur. And the other Gemara says, you never matter a Chilul Shti on Yom Kippur, even Mamakam Mitzvah. So that is a question. That is an issue. Says the Rashash raises that issue. Do you say that since Inuyin and Issa Malacha basically learned, it's all Tolin, in the same Kedusha Zayim? So if you have a Heter from Malacha, the Heter carries over to Inuyin as well. But he's saying, no, they're really different. The Gemara in the last Perek in Yuma learns that from Sukkim that not only is there an Issa Koris if one does Malacha by Yom of Yom Kippur, there's an Issa Koris if one does Malacha Balayla also. If one eats by Yom or if one eats Balayla, that the Laila has the same dinim as the Yom. So the Gemara learns that from Sukkim. So the Tosfos Yeshayim there asks on the last Perek in Yuma, what about every Shabbos and every Yom Tov? How do you know that the dinim, the Issa Malacha, applies both by Yom and Balayla? So Tosfos says there probably are some drushes there also. The Gemara never quotes it. We don't know what the Mocher is, but there must be a drusha. So it's interesting, Rabbi Yosef Engel quotes that the Yerushalmi seems to hold like that as well. Yerushalmi has the following discussion. There are 24 prokim in Masech HaShabbos, and the Mepharshim explained that in the days of the Tanakh, it says in Yecheskel, the practice used to be that a kala would wear 24 pieces of jewelry. So Shabbos is considered a kala, boyichala, boyichala. So that's where Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi decided to make Masech HaShabbos a 24 prokim. The 24 prokim are the 24 tachshitim of the kala. He could have made 30 prokim, like Nezikin, it's Bava Kamet, Bava Tzir, Bava Basri. Each one is 10 prokim, so it's 30 prokim. And the same thing, Masech HaKelim. There are 30 prokim there, so the first 10 prokim are called Bava Kamet, the next 10 prokim are called Bava Tzir, the next 10 prokim are called Bava Basra. So Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi could have made Masech Shabbos also 30 prokim, but he didn't. He made it 24, because it's like a kala. The kala has 24 tachshitim in Sefer Yecheskel. So the Mishnah, so one whole perek in Masech Shabbos is dedicated to the laws of Bris Milah. That's known as Perek Ablezer de Milah. So Ablezer ben Hurkinus, or Ablezer Agodel, is of the opinion that if a baby was born last Shabbos and it's a Milah Bismana, not only are you permitted to be Mechal Shabbos this week to do the Bris Milah, even Machshirei Milah She'ef Shalas and Banyam are also Dechan Shabbos. Let's say they don't have a knife to perform the Bris Milah. Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Leizer ben Hurkinus is of the opinion, we don't pass like him, he was outvoted, but in his city he was the Mardasra, and that's what they did years and years even after he passed away. They followed all the psalm of Rabbi Leizer. The other Chacham held not. So he held not only are you allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to perform the actual act of the Bris Milah, to do the Hachanas in advance. So let's say they forgot to bring the knife to the location where the Bris is going to take place. You're permitted to carry the knife on Shabbos even though there's no Erev. And we would permit you to manufacture a knife. So the Gemara says, but Mechal Moshe Rabbi Leizer, even years after Rabbi Leizer ben Hurkinus has passed away, the practice would be they would break off if there would be a Bris Milah scheduled for Shabbos. In New York City, there's only every day of the year, there are many, many Bris. In Lakewood, every day of the year, there are many Bris. But in the Kalmash Rav Leizer, once in a while, there would be a Bris on Shabbos. And cities were not so densely populated with people having babies. Like today, we have such big cities. So the Kalmash Rav Leizer, when there would be a Bris on Shabbos, the practice would be that they wouldn't bring the knife at all on Erev Shabbos. They would break off branches from a tree, make a fire on Shabbos, melt some metal, manufacture a knife, and then carry the knife. They would to demonstrate how chaviv the mitzvah of Milah is, that every step of the way is the Shabbos, even though it's not the actual Bris Milah itself, that's called Machshirei Milah. The hachanas in advance, the preparations in advance, in order to perform the Bris Milah. So the Imam says, Rav Leizer was outvoted, and the other cities, they didn't do like that. And that's the Psak Halacha L'maisa. Only Milah is Derech and Shabbos, and the Mashirei Milah are not Derech and Shabbos. So the Gemara points out, Rav Leizer's opinion, Mashirei Milah, Derech and Shabbos, even Achanas in advance, is not restricted only to Bris Milah. It applies to Lulav as well. Let's say, by us, if the first day Sukkot, the mitzvah men on Torah is to shake a Lulav on the first day. The rest of the 6 days of Sukkot that you shake a Lulav every day, in the Beis HaMikdash, that used to be a Lulav mitzvah HaMikdash called Shiva. In the Beis HaMikdash, in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, that was a mitzvah men on Torah to shake the Dalet Minim every day. And after the Churban Bayis Sheni, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai with his Bezdin made quite a few takonas with respect to Zechel HaMikdash, made a lot of takonas Zechel HaMikdash, so that was one of them. That Lulav Nito Kol Shiva Zechel HaMikdash. We shouldn't forget that there used to be such a mitzvah. So the Yerushalmi also says, so the Gemara says, the Bavli says, that according to Blazer, we have a din, you're not allowed to shake a lulav on the first, even on the first day of Sukkot, if it falls out on Shabbos, because we're afraid someone's going to forget and carry the dal minim in this street chutz la'ir. But men ha-Torah, you are mechuyav to shake a lulav, even if the first day falls out on Shabbos, you're not allowed to carry. So Reb Lezer was of the opinion that men ha-Torah, he seems to hold, seems to be Mark. If you hold the esrig while it's still attached to the tree, or you hold the lulav while it's still attached to the tree, you're not yet in the mitzvah of netilas lulav. It has to be detached. So Reb Lezer is of the opinion that min ha-Torah, you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos to detach the lulav, the esrig, hadasim and arabis, that's like machshirei milah, adecha Shabbos, and machshirei dala ninim is also adecha Shabbos. So the Gemara says, it's by all the mitzvahs. So Blaise holds machshir, mavol, and mitzvah, with a few rare exceptions. Okay, Gemara says, mezuzah, you're not allowed to mezuzah on Shabbos, you're not allowed to nail the mezuzah up on Shabbos, because if you mafke the house, it's not an absolute chiyuv. You can pat yourself on the chiyuv mezuzah by being mafke the house. But if you have an avid, what did the Gemara say? Mezuzah and what else? I forgot already. Tzitzis. Let's say I have a beged, a four-cornered beged, and a schayv in tzitzis. So, and I never put the tzitzis in. Am I permitted to tie the chutei tzitzis and the beged on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, no, even Rabbi Blazer would agree that you're not allowed to, because if it'll be mafke the beged, mafke the talis, then you won't have a chiv. So the Rabbi Blazer holds, whenever it's an absolute chiv, that there's no way to pati yourself from this chiv, so then the din is that not only is the mitzvah derech Shabbos, the meal itself is a mitzvah, that you have no choice. You have to do bris on the Yom HaShemini. Not only is the actual meal derech Shabbos, the hachonis in advance are also derech Shabbos. So the Rishalmi goes like the Bavli also, that according to Ablezer, not only machshirei meal derech Shabbos, machshirin of Shabbos mitzvahs also. So the Rishalmi has a shayla. What about preparing to manufacture a knife on Leil Shabbos to use the knife to shech the korban on Shabbos in the morning? Reb Lezer would permit you to manufacture a knife on Shabbos in the morning, but because Shabbos in the daytime is when you have the chiyuv to bring the Tminim Musafim, and Tminim Musafim are korban shez manakavua. Means manakavua, if you don't bring it today, over yom a bottle korbana. So the Hakrovas HaKorban is Derech Shabbos, Derech Yom Tov, Derech Yom Kippur. But the question is, according to Reb Lezer, not only the actual Shechitas HaKorban, even to manufacture a knife in the daytime of Shabbos, but also be Derech Shabbos. But the Yerushalmi has a suffix, are you permitted to manufacture the knife by Laila, Leil Shabbos, Friday night, in order to use that knife to shech the Korban, the Shabbos in the daytime? So what's exactly the Nekudas HaSamah? So the Rabbi Yosef Engel explains, based on this Gemara, the Lesperik and Yuma, that there's a separate pasuk, there's a separate Isa Malacha, Leil Shabbos, and a separate Isa Malacha, the daytime. Gemara has two different sukkim. Need two sukkim to start on Malacha Balayla, not only Achila Ba'ad, but there's Malacha Bayom, and Achila Bayom, two different Isurim. So that's perhaps what the topic was, since it's a separate Yisrael Chabalada, separate Yisrael Chabayam. So maybe even though, let's say there's a Bismillah schedule for Shabbos in the daytime, but you can't do the Chabalada, and you want to bring the Tminim HaMusafim in the daytime, but you can't bring the Tminim HaMusafim Balayla. So maybe, since it's a different Isman, you want to do the Chilul Shabbos to manufacture the knife, Balayl Shabbos. but you're not going to use it the Shabbos for the mitzvah. The mitzvah is only by yom. So maybe you're not allowed to violate the Isam Aloha Balaila in order to fulfill the mitzvah. This is a little problematic because we usually assume Mar has it in Muktzah. Ever some was Muktzah, maybe this Katzoy the Ben Ashmashis, it's Katzoy the Kuliyama. Whatever words Muktzah, when Shabbos entered, or when Yom Kippur entered, when Yantav entered, remains, did he know the whole situation changed? And it really, the reason it's Muktzah, it no longer applies. But nonetheless, Ben Ashmashis is Kaveh, the beginning of Shabbos is Kaveh. And the same, both Lekul and Lechum, if something was maybe the last Katzoy, Shabbos Ol B'Hutra, Hutra, Shabbos Ol B'Nesra, Nesra. You have a few halachas that depend all the dinim on the level of Rabbanan, all the dinim on Nikva B'Tchilas Hayayim of Shabbos. When Shabbos enters, little Shabbos, when it becomes Tzeisa Kachavim, so that's when a lot of dinim on Shabbos. So Leitchik liked very much the sheet of Abin Ezer, who writes that this is called the Tikkun Rabbanan, came there, I said Tikkun, these dinim, that Shabbos Ol B'Hutra, Shabbat Chol Nesra Nesra, Nigadis Katzor the Ben Hashmashes, all the dinim Anikva and the Ben Hashmashes, Tchilas Hayom. This is based on a din deraisa, and the Tchilas Hayom, the Ben Hashmashes of Knesset on Shabbos Leil Friday night Leil Shabbos is kaveh on the level of deraisa. It's kaveh Yisr Malacha on Shabbos. It's not that every dinim of Shabbos has Kedusha Hayom, and therefore there's a. Therefore, there's an Isra Malacha every minute of Shabbos. No.
Why are
you calling? The Be'ah Shmashes is the Isra Malacha for the whole day of Shabbos. So this is problematic, the way the Rabbi Yosef Engel points out this Yerushalmi. It says that this is separate, the Babli and the Yerushalmi both say, there's a separate Isra Malacha by light and a separate Isra Malacha by Yom. And on Yom Kippur also, a separate Isra He knew him by light, and his epidemic, he knew him by yom. So Ben Ashmash would be the Oser for the Malacha Balayla. But the Oser for Malacha Bayom should be a Oser Shachar. We never heard of that. It didn't depend on Ben Ashmash's. So this is really problematic, this idea that all the dinim, that it's epidemic of Malacha Balayla, and it's epidemic of Malacha Bayom. Because we usually assume all the dinim are Nikva, but Chilos Hayom, when Shabbos enters, when Yom Kippur enters, we don't say that it's a separatism alacha b'alayla, separatism alacha b'ayom. The Gemara points out that the shiurim from Tchila Shtia are different from Kol HaTorah Kula. According to the Rambam, the shiur Shtia in Kol HaTorah Kula is Revius. Taisu suggests maybe the shiur is Maloy Lugmav. But the Rambam meets this quote in Shmon Aruch for Shtia, in order to get Malkus for drinking something that's grave. So the shef drink is a revius. Revius is the volume of beitzah or machzah, volume of an egg and a half. And the shef eating food, eating treifa food is kazayis. And remember, the shef eating food is bigger than a kazayis, koseves hagasa, the volume of a big date. And the shef for drinking is maloy lugmav, is less than revius. So the Gemara is, how come everything is different on Yom Kippur? The shef for achila is bigger than the shiur for shti is mola. The Gemara says them because it says the hinitim the snap shesechem. So kim lehul rabbanan the chachamim established that's the shiur benegat to inui. Benegat achil shti the shiur is kazais or revius. Benegat to the hinitim shiur is mola lugmav or the shiur is kosev is agaz. There's an interesting tshuva. It's Nagel Alocha, the tshuva of the Shagas Aryeh. He says, the Gemara says in the second parak in Sochim, if a person eats treif derech achilasa, so it's only an isa de rabbah. What it means to look at derech achilasa? So there are two different things. That person leaves a salami out of the refrigerator for a whole month, so it gets spoiled. And he's going to eat it, it's going to taste awful. He'll probably get a bellyache, a stomachache. So that's called nifsa machila. So whenever you have food that got spoiled, it's not real achila. If you won't tell someone what it is, they're going to start eating it, they're going to spit it out, they're going to see right away it's not real achila. So whatever's not real achila is like eating paper. That doesn't have a shame at all. But then sometimes food that is real achila, let's say you take out hot dogs from the freezer. It's frozen hard like a rack, and you're eating the hot dog the way it is. Or you just fried the trefa hot dogs. You fried the trefa hot dogs on a frying pan, and it's burning hot. And you eat the hot dog, the trefa hot dog, the trefa salami, while it's burning hot. It burns your tongue when you burn your throat. You can't say the food is nistachila. Just wait 2 minutes and you blow on it, and it'll cool down. But the way you ate it, you look at the achachin losam. So, if a person eats food, shalok hedar achilot, so the Gemara says, that's only an isa de rabbana. So the Gemara says, no, that there are a few exceptions to the rule. One of them is basa b'cholov, because the Torah never says, lo sachlu basa b'cholov. It says, lo sevashel kedi b'chalev imo, lo sevashel, it says three times. And we figured out with drushes, with yalfuses, that basa b'cholov is asa b'chana and asa b'bishol. But since it never says in the Chumash, lo sachlu basa b'cholov, so the Gemara says, since it never says a lashon achila, so even shalok derech achila, so would constitute an isa deraisa by basa b'cholov. So the Shagazdari writes, he thinks the same would be true by Yom Kippur. If you're eating food which is real achila, if you eat food that nifsa me'achila, so that's not called achal, that's like eating paper. So if it's not real achila, there's no isa achila at all on Yom Kippur. But if the food is real achila, the only thing is that you eat it ice cold, the salami with the hot dog was in the freezer. It's hard like a rack. You're eating a rack, almost breaking your teeth on it. So that's called achilu shalok aderach achilos. So he says on Kippur, that would be an isa derais. Kamina ledina. That would be an isa derais. The Gemara has the last perek in Yuma. The Gemara says, what if a person eats achila gasa on Yom Kippur? Let's say he ate so much before Yom Kippur began, he stopped himself to the brim. And now whatever he's going to eat is going to be nauseating now on Yom Kippur. So if a person eats Lel Yom Kippur Achila Gasa, because he ate so much before Yom Kippur began, he overate at the time of the Suda Mavsekis, so then it's not an Isa Derais on Yom Kippur, and he's not Chayav Koros. And the Gemara said the same is true regarding Anan Kohen who eats Truma. Usually truma is only eaten by Kohanim. If a non-Kohen eats truma, it's an avera that's punished with Misa B'dei Shemayim. Misa B'dei Shemayim is not as severe as Kores. The Kores person will die by the age of 50. Misa B'dei Shemayim will die by the age of 60. That's the Gemara, the last daf in my cotton. So the Gemara always considers that Kores is a big punishment, more chomer than Misa B'dei Shemayim. So the Gemara said that Easter, Azar Sha'ochal, Truma, Bemezid, it's Misa B'dei Shamayim. And if he ate Azar Sha'ochal, Truma, B'Shoigeg, has to give Keren V'Chaymish as a kapara, just like a person who's chayv to bring a korban chatos, one who violated an aver B'Shoigeg. What kind of an aver? So one who violated an aver B'Shoigeg, an aver Chamur, that if he would have violated the aver Bemezid, he would have mechayv kares. So that's the rule. Culture is not a kares. And shigigosa chatos. The person did an aver b'shoigeg, and the nature of aver was such that it carries with it a punishment of kares. So if he violated the aver b'shoigeg, he's chayv chatos. Here, if the person would have azar, a non-kain, would have eaten truma b'meit, he knows it's truma, he doesn't care. So then the punishment would be Misa B'dei Shemayim. So if he violated Zar Shachal Truma B'Shegei, then he needs a kapara, just like a person who violated Misa Kares B'Shegei needs a kapara, and he has to bring a chata. One who violates and needs the Misa B'dei Shemayim B'Shegei also needs a kapara. So he has to give Keren V'Chaymish. That's how the Gemara makes such a comparison. Keren V'Chaymish is to Misa B'dei Shemayim like chatas is to Kares. So the Gemara says, Azar, a non-kain who eats truma, achila gasa, is not chayev misa b'dei shamayim, because it's achila gasa, it's not normal. And therefore, he wouldn't be chayev to give the karim chaymish either. If Zar shochal truma b'shegik is chayev karim chaymish, it's a kapara, having violated the avera sheish by misa b'dei shamayim b'shegik. But if it's achila gasa, so there's no Misa B'dei Shemayim, and there wouldn't be any Keren V'Chaymish. That's the Gemara. So The Tesis extrapolates, these are two Gemaras, one and 30 out. The Tesis generalizes it. If the Gemara is this thing, that's not called Achila. Not by Yom Kippur, not for the purposes of Isar Achila and Yom Kippur, nor for the purposes of Azar Shachal Truma B'Mezid or B'Jegeg. It's not called an Achila. So Tesis says, who are the Nami? By Nevelis and Jacobs and Bostam Cholam and Evidence and Dinam Achila. If it's Lurkadar, if it's Achila Gasa, then there's no Isa. And Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, like the Karen Iraz, if you look on the Rambam, you get the distinct impression the Rambam does not agree with Tosis. The Rambam seems to hold that it's a local din only in Truma, and it's a local din only in Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, because it's not called the Hinisim. When you eat on Yom Kippur, if you're hungry, so that's a violation of the Hinisim. But if the fella is stuffed, he overate at his seconds, whatever he's going to eat on Del Yom Kippur is going to be nauseating already. So that's not a violation of Inisim. So that's a local tam for Yom Kippur. And then for the Zashok Truma, the non-kain who eats Truma, the Nezit, the Shegek, that's also a local explanation. Because the Truma is mitzvah selei ochal ha'idei ha'kohanim. The Kohanim is supposed to eat the Truma. A Zar who eats the Truma is Chayv Misa Deshmain because he's Mabapalit in Mitzvasa. The Mitzvasa was that the Kohen should eat it. Here the non-Kohen is eating and says Mabapalit in Mitzvasa. So he only is Chayv Misa Deshmain if he's Mabapalit in Mitzvasa. He ate it the way the Kohen should have eaten it. The Kohen should eat it in a normal fashion. The Torah says all the Matnas Kunim were given to the Kohen to eat, the Moshka, and the Gemara says, Maninis Atalahem the Moshka. The mashcha means legedula, keder sham lochem ochlem, that the kohanim are supposed to eat the chas v'shtoik and the truma and all the matnas kuna in a very bekavadika fashion. But if the kohen is going to eat it, achila gasa, he's stuffed, and he's going to eat it in a nauseating fashion, so that's not la mashcha legedula. So since the kohen wouldn't really properly be fulfilling his mitzvah of achilas truma, if he would eat it, achila gasa, so the zar she'ochal truma, Achila Gasa wouldn't be Chayv Misa B'Dershamayim either, because the basic Issa, the definition of the Issa of the non-Kohen eating Truma is, and he's Mevatlet Mimitzvah, so he ate the Truma the same way the Kohen should eat the Truma. But the Kohen would eat the Truma Achila Gasa, that wouldn't be a Kiyama Mitzvah. So that's why when the Zar eats the Truma Achila Gasa, there wouldn't be a Bitl Mitzvah, so it wouldn't be Misa B'Dershamayim then, and it wouldn't be Chayim Misa. That's what the Karen Nara points out, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out. And the Rambam is Mahmeh, he does not agree with Tosfos. That this din of Achila Gas, not a din in Kol HaTar Kula, only in the two cases that the Gemara has. Achila Gas on Yom HaKippurim, and Achila Gas on Zar Shachal Trum. It's interesting that the Machlekes of Yechon Reish Lokesh appears in Shas only by Achila Yom Kippur, whether Chatzis Shir Asim and HaTorim in the Rabbanan. It's very interesting because there would have been room to argue the point and say that fasting on Yom Kippur is because of the Inisim, like we said before from the Raga Shabba, the two types of Shiurim. There's a Shiurim, it's Tarif, and there's a Nekudim. See, if you're talking about Chazer, Basa B'cholim, Nevela, Trefa, even less than a Kazayis, it's also Eftzis, Nevela, Trefa. It's Basa B'cholim. You just have to eat a little more, a little more, a little more to be a Shiurim, it's Tarif. You have to accumulate enough of eating. Took the Achila's pras, that it should be called Achila. Ain't Achila Pchutim Mikazais. But let's say to take a bath on Yom Kippur, Rechitnas Kalaguf, even if you hold that that's an Issa deraisa, but to wash your hands or to wash your face, that's not a Chatzis Shiur. That's by definition, that's a different thing. Taking a bath or a shower, that's Rechitnas Kalaguf, that's a Shiur Nekudim. Until you bathe the whole goof, that's not called bathing, that's called cleaning the hands. Of washing the face. You don't call it a bath. Washing the face is not a chatzis shir of a bath or a shower. So the Isser on Yom Kippur is really being Isser. So one could have really argued the point and said, if you're going to eat less than a Malay Lukumov or less than a Kasev Sagato, it's a shir nekudah, so it should be chatzis shir, should be mutamanatur. So that's a chiddush that not only does Rabbi Yochanan disagree with Reish Lakish, by Trefit, by eating the Vela and Chazer of Basa B'cholom, he holds the Chatzin Shir as Asman HaTorah. Even when it gets to Yom Kippur, we also say Why? We assume that there are two isurim. There's a din of the inisim, and there's also an isur achila. In the inisim, there is no chatzishir. That's really a shir nekuda. But the additional isur, we read in between the lines that there's an isur achila on Yom Kippur, an isur achila, that's already a shir mitztaker. So that chatzishir would be asam and atara. Yeah, the din, of course, is that from day number one, when the Torah was given to Har Sinai, provisions had to be made right away. Little children, if you're not going to give them food to eat, they can die, they can be bisakana. Some older people, I'm sure there were older people in Har Sinai. I'm sure from day number one, there were certain people who were allowed to eat the first Yom Kippur. Because if they'll fast, they'll be bisakana nefoshes. So the hetah pikoch nefesh b'yisum was given right away. It wasn't. Some historians misunderstood Pshat in the Sefer Hashmonaim from the Svar Machitzanim that the days of the Hashmonaim they didn't have the Heter Pikuach Nefesh Decha Kol Tarkuma. So the Pashto says that it's not correct. Pshat Pikuach Nefesh was from day number one, the first Yom Kippur after Maamen Hasina. Maamen Hasina was Shavuot, so the first Kippur after there was a Shaila. All the people had to eat, or your lettuce had to eat, or whatever, the Ketanim had to eat because of the suffix Sakana. And the days of the Hashmonaim, there was a detail in Hilchos Pikuach Nefesh about going to battle on Shabbos that was mischarish in the days of the Hashmonaim. And that whole thing of Pikuach Nefesh, that was from day number one. It doesn't make sense that so many years till Maamen Hasina, till the days of the Hashmonaim. Hashmonaim were just 204 years before Kurban Bayis Sheni. So it took so many centuries till they came up with the Chiddush that very not mistaba at all. Some people make a mistake. They think, one Balabas told me his first wife passed away because they asked the doctors, the Rabbanim asked the doctors, if she'll fast on Yom Kippur, she was very sick, if she fast on Yom Kippur, will she die? So she said, no, how can it die? So the doctor thought they meant, will she die on Yom Kippur? Will she die on the spot? But the husband said she clearly died months before she would have normally died because her system was weakened. So that's also called Pikuach Nefesh. Chai Shua, it's also to extend one's life. Even if the person is going to die anyway, but you're extending the person's life by eating on Yom Kippur, it's also called Pikuach Nefesh. It doesn't have to be a suffering, Sakani going to die today. And all the posts can point out that there's absolutely no Midas Chasidus to be Machmer if the Halacha says you're allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, so you have to eat. There's no Midas Chasidus to be Machmer not to eat. That's utterly ridiculous. Achila Shtia, the Shiurim are different. Achila the Shiur is Kavis Agas, and Shtia the Shiur is Loi Lugmav. So that's why the din is that if you have a chatzi shir achila and a chatzi shir of shtia, they're not mitzvah from yachad because things are only mitzvah from if it's the same din and it's the same shir. But here's din achila, the shtir is kaseves agas and shtia. The shir is maloy lugmam, so they're not shirem shavim, so they're not mitzvah. What do you call it? Let's say with the shear for Achila is Kazais and the shear for Shtia is Revius. So the Magen Avraham writes that that's called Ein Shearim Shavim and Nefah they're not Mitztarfim. If you have half a Kazais of food and half of a Revius of a drink, of a liquid, then Magen Avraham says you don't say Barn of Koshes. Let's say a person had a half a Kazais of potatoes and a half a Kazais of a cookie. So a cookie, we should have really been a bracha, when it should have been ala michia. And when you eat a potato or kazayas, the bracha when it should be born in bushes. So the Magen Avraham writes, if you had a half a kazayas of a potato, half a kazayas of a cookie, tok d'achilas pras, then it's da from yachet to say born in bushes. But what if you had a half a kazayas of a cookie and a half a revius of a mashke? So the Magen Avraham says, no, it's ain't shirem shavim, they're not mitzvah. So the Keren Oira, the Keren Oira Amaseches Me'ila quotes the Tshuvas Beis Ephraim, interesting, quotes the Shalosh Tshuvas Beis Ephraim, who has the suggestion, maybe he can disagree with the Magen Avraham, maybe Chila Shtia are the same Shir, because there is a Gemara in the end of Maseches Shabbos that a revius of dam yochel likrish v'lamer zayis. A revius is the volume of the tzomachta, but when it would congeal, when it would solidify, it would shrink and it would get smaller. So a revius of dam is the equivalent, when it solidifies, it's the equivalent of a kazayis. So that's what the Beis HaFraim suggests. Maybe as far as Achilu Shtia, they are mitzdarfim. On Yom Kippur, they're not mitzdarfim because the Shvarim are not the same. By Achilu, the Shtia is Kasevah Sargasa, a big date. And the Shir by Shtia is Maloy Lugamov, which is a Rav Revius, which is a Rav Revius by another Beinani, yeah. So that's Ein Shvir Eim Shel. But if you're talking about saying a Baruch Achreina, saying getting malchus, feeding tray for food, so that's what the Karen Arik quotes from the Shavuot Beis HaFraim. It could be that it is Shir Eim Shel, because since the reason why the Shir from Mashkin is a revius, if it will solidify, will turn into a gazayas. So maybe that's called Shir Eim Shel. That is an interesting suggestion. What are the other inuyim? So one of the inuyim is rechitza, you know, about a bathe. So the Gemara says only rechitza shal tiny gazal. So let's say a person somehow he fell into the mud and his hands are all filthy, the hands are all sticky or something. So then he's permitted to wash off the dirt or his body dirty with something. So then he's permitted to wash it off. That's not all the rechitza shal tiny. What if a person has to go to mikveh? So mi'ikaradin. Tommy, who goes to mikveh, would be permitted to call out Chayv Tefilas Tavon Kedark on the Tisha B'Av B'Yom HaKippurim, because it's not called Rechitza Shal Mitzvah. Yeah, it's Rechitza Shal Mitzvah. So Tosfos has two gears. This is a Gemara in the end of Shabbos, Daf Kuf Chaf, around Daf Kuf Chaf. So Tosfos has two gears. The gears that they're not happy with is that depends if you hold Tefilah B'Zman HaMitzvah. The days of the Tanaim, that was a big machloket. Is there a mitzvah to be Tovel? An Adam Tami should be timed at his earliest convenience, as soon as possible. So it's a machlokes. In the days of the Gaonim, the majority of the Gaonim held Tefillah B'Zman is mitzvah, and then the consensus changed. In the days of the Rishonim, it shifted, the balance shifted, and we assume Tefillah B'Zman a lav mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah to be timed at the earliest available opportunity. So the Tosfos had one girsa that they're not happy with, that if a person is tummy and he goes to mikveh and he becomes tohar, it's not called b'chitzah shal tainug. That's only if you hold tefillah b'zman mitzvah. But if you don't hold tefillah b'zman mitzvah, then it would be called b'chitzah shal tainug, because there was no mitzvah. You didn't have to go to the mikveh on Yom Kippur. Tosfos thinks that is not correct. Tosfos thinks that the more correct gear says, even if you don't accept tefillah b'zman mitzvah, in the days of the Rishonim, Rov of the Rishonim decided that tefillah b'zman lav mitzvah, as we assume today. But still, if it's a rechitza, if it's tefillah and a mikveh, that's mitzvah to taharet, it's mitaryu, then by definition, I hold the rechitza shalom tainu. But that's the din rechitza. Yeah, nilas ha-sandal, what's the definition of a sandal? So, anyam kippur, according to ha-sandal, is a din deraisa. So the Gemara says, what's the definition of a sandal for the purposes of Nilas HaSandal on Yom Kippur? Nilas HaSandal in the middle of Avelus Shiva, one is not permitted to wear sandal. And Tisha B'Av, also the same thing. So the Gemara says it's the same Shaila for Chalitza. Chaltza Na'ala Me'al Ragla, what's the definition of Na'al? If the Yavam is going to take off the socks from the right foot of the Yavam, the sock is not making. But if she's going to take off a shoe or a sneaker, that is making. So that's a machlokes, a big machlokes at Tanan, and a big question in the Rishonim, out of Paskin. They say whatever foot apparel is making protects the foot, either a shoe or a sneaker. A sneaker is also making, so that's called the sandal. So you can do chalitza deraisa, taking off a sneaker. But they say no. The pasuk in the Gemara quote the pasuk in Yecheskel. They're just like when someone delivers a baby, and then you wash off the baby, and you powder the baby, and you diaper the baby, and you smear on Vaseline or something on the baby's behind, that it should be clean. So to HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivered the baby, he brought Klal Yisrael into the world, he delivered the baby at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and then he diapered the baby, and then when it was time, he made little shichalach, he made little baby shoes for the baby. So the Loshon HaPasuk is ve'enolech tochash. I put on na'alayim, I put on little shoes from leather from a tachash animal. Oris techoshim, tachash was a kosher animal that existed in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara says today the tachash doesn't exist anymore, but the Gemara says it was a kosher animal that existed in the days of the Mishkan, and how to use oris techoshim for the Batzei Shvitim, the Hadi was Aris Techoshim for the Kisui on top of the oil moid, to protect oil moid. So the Pasuk says, Ve'enolech Tachash, I put on the alayim made from ore of the Tachash. So this leads the other Tanoim to say, not anything that's Megan is considered a shoe, a sandal and a mano. It's only considered a shoe if it's Megan and it's made from leather. So that's a Machlek Zerushanim Hadi Paskin by Chalitza. Shadla by Chalitza and Shadla by Yom Kippur. Some hold that the din of Yom Kippur, the Ol Chamishi Nuleim Aderais. They quoted the name of the Vilna Gaon that he thought it's Kedai to be Machmer, since there are some opinions who think that Nilas Hasandlo is Derais, and there are some Rishonim who pass on that you don't need leather. While Amor and Yom Kippur holds that it's good for Chalitza, even if it's not made from leather, as long as it's Megan. So then, whenever you're going to wear sneakers on Yom Kippur, that'll be an Issa Derais. Even though Shulchan Aruch it says we paskin only if it's made from leather, not made from leather, not. So they quote from the Vilna Gaon, if it's Tisha B'Av, the Rabbanon, if you're talking about Shiva, the Shiva is the Rabbanon, that's one thing. If you're talking about Yom Kippur, according to the Rambam, that could be simple reading of the Rambam, that Olacham, you know, him ad deraisa. So maybe it's Kedai to be Machmer like that. So when you walk in the street, you can't walk with your own shoes and you can't walk just with your feet, you'll hurt your feet. So you have to wear sneakers, okay? But then once you come home, but once you come to the shul, maybe it's kedai to take off the sneakers right away, to be choshish for those opinions, that whatever is megan is considered a nahal. Yeah, what's the definition of eating? So eating is when the food goes down the food pipe. If a person takes intravenous, even though his system is nourished, he has nutrition, but that's not called achila, and there's no iser to take intravenous on Yom Kippur. If a person is a chayla besukan and he has to eat, so Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, we don't tell him, let him take intravenous and we won't have to violate the iser of Yom Kippur. No, he's allowed to eat, he's mutter. Just some people, Rav Soloveitchik said that he always dreaded the possibility of having to eat on Yom Kippur, on the Yom HaKadosh, to eat on Yom Kippur. So when the doctor said it's a suffix hakana, so he insisted on taking intravenous all night long, so he wouldn't have to eat the next day. But that was his hargosha, was like that. That's what he wanted. But the halacha does not require that at all. Yeah, how do you define what's an oichel and what's a mashke for purposes of Yom Kippur? If it's an oichel, then the shir achila is kosevus hagasa. So mashke, the sheer mashke, is a malay lugmav. So the Gemara in the last parak in Yuma says, if you have, let's say, a little bit of one vegetable, a little bit of another vegetable, all of the potato and a carrot and whatever, all the different vegetables add up to a kosevus hagasa. So kol ochel mistar from zeh mizeh, to the mashlem the shir, but an oichel and a mashke are not mitzdarfen because then shirem shovet. So the Gemara has: what if you have a vegetable salad? You have a lot of vegetables, and then you have a little liquidy salad dressing on top of the vegetables that pours like a liquid mamzla, pours like water, very, very, very light. It pours very light. So the Gemara says that the tzir shal gabi hayerek is mitzdarev to be mashlem the shir kosevus hagasa. So you see a chiddush from the Gemara that sir agabi hayerek is dina ka'ichal, it's not dina kemashke. How come but it pours like water? So the Pashtus says that the Gemara is telling a chiddush that the difference in definition between oichal and mashke is not so much solid versus liquid, but it's rather food versus beverage. When you have the salad dressing that pours on top of the vegetables, That's not a beverage. You're not drinking it in order to quench your thirst. That's the salad dressing that enhances the taste of the food that you're eating. So that's a liquid food. So if you have a liquid food, that's dina ka'icha. And a mashkan means a beverage. So that's why we pointed out that Tosis is bothered with Akasha, Tosis and Brochas, and that's why Mutesim now is bothered with Akasha. Why is the common practice that people say shahakal when they drink beer? Just like if a person makes vegetable soup and then he strains out all the vegetables, he cooked the vegetables in water and the flavor of the vegetables went into the water, then he strains out all the vegetables. So the Gemara says the bracha is wadama on the vegetable soup. So why don't you stay the same? The bracha on beer should be bari minim zaynis, because the whole flavor of the barley, of the barley, of the oats, whatever, however you make beer, the flavor of the dogon is cooked or soaks into the water, and it's nice and tam, so it should also be mezaynis. So this has three terutzim on the kashya, on the kasha, three answers, and all the poskim quote the third answer. Third answer is, kach nemar halacha, all beverages are shahakom, except for wine, that's a different story, all beverages are shahakom. So that's why people assume, who are denami, that shnaps, all beverages are shahakom. The truth of the matter is that's highly questionable. But even in Russia, where they drink a lot of vodka, they don't drink schnapps to quench their thirst. They drink schnapps to relax, to put themselves in a happy mood, or to drink away the sorrows or whatever. But it's not really a beverage. It should really be a meichel. It's a liquid food, but it's you can't really consider a beverage that people drink to quench the thirst. Of that, that's why we said there should be an issue. Maybe schnapps should be mezaynis. If the schnapps is made from soaking oats or barley, so that should be from the chameshes min hadogan. Tosfos said on beer that beer is a beverage. People drink beer to quench the thirst. Beer is a beverage that when they're thirsty to drink it. The Chayyadim writes, the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Chayyadim, if a person has a bowl of soup, how much soup does he have to eat in order to be able to say Baruch HaChorana? So he paskens kezayis, not a revius. A revius is much more. Revius is the volume of beitza and machza. Kezayis either chatzi beitza or shlish beitza. Why does he say that soup, the shear is kezayis? Because soup is a meichel. Soup is a liquid form of a meichel, but people don't drink soup when they're thirsty. If they have nothing else to drink to quench the thirst, they have no choice, so they'll drink the soup. But normally, soup is not a beverage that people would normally drink to quench their thirst. Soup is a liquid meichel. And there's a Tosfos in the end of Masechus Shabbos, but Tosfos points this out. There is a difference in Kabbalah's Tuma. There are four things that are in the Kabbalah Tuma, Adam, Mikaela, Mochlem, and Mashkim. So the Gemara draws a contrast between Ochlem and Mashkim. Ochlem are only the Kabbalah Tuma if it's rinsed off in advance with one of the Zayin Mashkim. Ochlem has to have hechshe lekabel tume. Mashkim are roy lekabel tume, even if you don't rinse it off. Mashkim are mekabel tume, it doesn't need hechshe. Ochlem is only mekabel tume with hechshe. So the Gemara, now to Tosfos, in the end of Shabbos, quotes a Mishnah from Krisis, towards the end of Krisis. A baby is nursing from the mother. So the Gemara says, the milk that the baby drinks from the mother's body, the baby nurses from the mother, has the status of oichel, and it's only mekabel tume if it comes in contact with some liquid. So Tosfos says, what do you mean? Milk is one of the zayin mashkin. A mashke doesn't need hechsher lekabel tume. So why does it, the milk that the baby's drinking, why does it need hechsher? So Tosfos says, a beverage, a mashke doesn't need hechsher if it's a beverage. But by the baby, this is called machol shalatinik. That's all the baby eats. This is the baby's oichel. But they have such a thing, people on a diet, so they take metrical. So the metrical is a can that has something like a can of milk, and you eat that, and that's all you have for the whole day, or for the whole meal, or something like that. So it's a liquid, but it's a liquid form of the whole meal. You don't drink it in order to quench your thirst. That is the whole meal. That's like soup. Soup is a liquid form of a meichel. So that's why the Chayyadim holds that the sheer bracha achrena for soup is kezayis, not revius. one of the Gdolim who was killed by the Nazis, the Kozhik Lover Goyen. He was the Rav of Kozhik Lover before the First World War. So he was invited, when Rav Meir Shapira founded the Shivas Chalach Milublin, he was invited to give the highest shir in the yeshiva. So he has a collection of tshuvas. It's two volumes of nice tshuvas. So he has one of the tshuvas he writes to several of his tshuvas are to defend Hasidish practices. He himself was a Hasidish. So he comes to defend the practice that they would make Kiddush on Shabbos morning on a tiny little cup of schnapps that's less than a revius. So to defend the practice, he says you should know that schnapps is a meichel, it's not a mashke. And he quotes, there's a pirish on Mishnais from the Kabbarna Rebbe. It's printed, and you have Mishnais on the top of the page with the Bartanur and Tarsiantim. And on the bottom, you have here and there, you have some comments by the Kabbarna Rebbe. So he points out on Mishnais Taris that schnapps is a meichel, it's not a mashke. So as a meichel, so the shir should not be revius, the shir should really be a kazayis. And how big is a kazayis? Either chatzi beitza or shlish beitza. So how do we talk kapaskan? So the Magen Avraham writes in Hilchos Pesach, for dinim there rice, it should be machmer, that you have to have, let's say, how much matzah do you have to eat? So we should be machmer to have chatzi beitza. But we get the kiddush this morning is only the rabbanon. Kiddush on Friday night is the rice of a kiddush alayayin is only the rabbanon. Kiddush on Shabbos morning, the whole thing is only the rabbanon. So it's a the rabbanon on top of it, the rabbanon. So there, there's room to make all the Magen Avraham would say. So it would be sufficient if you have a shlish beitza. Shlish beitza beinonis. So he says the glazel, the little cup of schnapps, has a shlish beitza. So since schnapps is a meichel, so therefore the shear for chashivas would be a shlish beitza, which he certainly has. That's so the argument that the Kozhik Lover gave to defend the Chassidish practice of reciting Kiddush Shabbos morning of a little cup of schnapps is exactly the argument that the Rav Chaim Volozhin says, well, you cannot use schnapps. He says, if you're going to use schnapps for Kiddush on Shabbos morning, that's like saying Kiddush on a bowl of soup. That's a Meichel. He says, if it's a Meichel, it's no good for Kiddush. It has to be a Hamar Medina. Hamar Medina, the first step is it has to be a beverage. It can't be a Meichel. Over 1,000 years ago, there was a famous incident. There were Arbor Shvuyim in the year 950. There used to be a whole bunch of pirates in the Mediterranean who would kidnap people and hold up the families or their communities for the ransom money. So this gangster kidnapped Arbor Shvuyim, four prominent Talmid Chachamim, and the gangster took each one to a different community. So one of them was Rabbeinu Hanan's father, Rabbeinu Hushiel, and he took him to Kairouan in northern Africa, and they paid the ransom money and they freed him. And then he took some of the other three, I think three of the four, they know their name, and the fourth one, they don't know their name. So they took one of them, I think, to Germany, somewhere in Germany, and the community paid money to ransom him to get his freedom. So this Talmid Chacham was sitting in shul, and the Rav in the shul was giving a shiur mishnayis about avodas Yom Kippur. So he's explaining the din that it says in halacha akol hazah kvila. Every time the Kohen Gadol does a hazah on Yom Kippur, he has to do a tvila. So the Baal HaBatim asked the rabbi, how can it be? We have a tradition. He only goes to mikvah chamish tvilas, sorry kiddushin, tovel Kohen Gadol and mekadosh Baal Bayam. He only goes to mikvah five times, because the avodah at Yom Kippur is divided into five units. First he does avodah in Big Day Zov, then in Big Day Lovin, then in Big Day Zov, Big Day Lovin, Big Day Zov. So whenever a kohen puts on Big Day Kuna, his kedushas kuna becomes elevated. His man should be Big Day Malem Kuna Samalem. Ain't Big Day Malem, ain't Kuna Samalem. There's a kedushas kuna should be gvulin. Every kohen walking around has kedushas kuna. He's not allowed to marry a grusha. He can duchen, and he can do pidyon aden. And he can get the first aliyah, and he can eat truma, and he can't be metame the mason. The kedushas kuna, you don't need big day kuna. But in order to be kedushas kuna sheba migdosh, in order to be makruv karbonis, you have to have his manship big day malem kunansam alem. That's a higher level of kedusha. So whenever a nochri wants to convert, he has to go to mikveh. The going to mikveh, being teufel in a mikveh, elevates your level of kedusha. And the same is true if a kohen wants to wear big dekuna, so that's going to elevate his level of kedusha. He will become elevated to the level of kedusha skunish b'amigdash. He'll be able to do avodah. So each time the kohen is about to put on big dekuna, he has to go to mikvah. So the kohen gadol on Yom Kippur does first avodah the big dekuna. Then he takes it off and he's lowered down to the level of kedusha skunish b'gvulin. Then he wants to put on big dekuna. He has to be tovel in the mikveh again, a second time. So five times he goes to the mikveh on Yom Kippur. So how can you say, I'll call hazor tefillah every time he does a hazor? He has to go to the mikveh. He does four times machas l'mayla v'shevra l'mata. That's four times eight. That's already 32. And he only goes to mikveh five times. How can you say, I'll call hazor tefillah? That's what they ask. So the Rav didn't know the answer. So this one of the Boshvuyim, I forgot the name, they have the whole story in the history books. So he said, that's a mistake. Akol Hazor Tefillah doesn't mean every time the Kohen Gadol does a Hazor Yom Kippur, he has to be tovel in the mikveh. That means he has to dip his finger into the dam. He has to dip his finger in and do a Hazor. Then he dips his finger in and does a second Hazor. Dips his finger. It's a Tefillah Tzetzpa. Whenever he does Akol Hazor, when he does Matan Etzpa on Yom Kippur, he has to do a tefillas ha'etzba into the dam. So the rabbi who was giving the Shia Mishnais for the Balabatim realized this person really knows how to learn. So he stepped down, he resigned from his position. He said, you have to make this man the rabbi. How often have we had that? How often did you see such a thing? That someone else realizes that another person is more qualified than he is. And he steps on from his position, he gives over the rabbonus to the other one. That's a famous story. They say that happened approximately the year 950, with the story with the Abor Shavuim. Let me just close with this. It's getting a little late. The Mishnah in Yuma says that Yom Kippur is only mechaper and aver shebin al ma'amokim. As the pasuk says, ki ve'em azeh chaper lachem tareschem mikol chatesechem lefnei Hashem. Aver is that bin al ma'amokim, Yom Kippur is mechaper. Averis bin Adam Machaver, Yom Kippur is not Machaper, Achi Ratze is Chaver. So let's say a person does tshuva from the Averis bin Adam Machaver, but it never was Meratze is Chaver, and the Averis bin Adam Machaver. So would you say that Yom Kippur is Machaper on the Averis that he violated bin Adam Machaver? It's not Machaper on the Averis bin Adam Machaver, but it is Machaper on the Averis bin Adam Machaver. So Rav Soloveitchik said over that some of the Darshanim in Europe had a comment based on the Mishnah in the end and the last parak in Yuma, towards the end of Yuma, that says, Mikvah Yisrael Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is compared to a mikvah, Ma mikvah mitaheres hatmeim, Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitaheres Yisrael. What did Rabbi Akiva gain by comparing the Taharas Yom Kippur to a mikvah? So some of the Darshanim used to say that if a person is tummy, he can't be titled the right arm, and then the left arm, and then the right leg, then the left leg, then his face, then his stomach, then his back. You can't be tovel lachatzon. After mam shekoku tovel b'hem b'vasachas, the person has to be submerged under the water of the mikveh all at one time. There's no tefillah lachatzon. So that's what Rabbi Akiva meant to say, that the haras Yom Kippur is like a mikveh. If it's not, either it's matahir everything, ma mikveh matahir, so either it's matahir all the adorim, or it's not matahir anything. So if the person doesn't, is not meratzes chaveroi, not only will Yom Kippur not be mechaper on the averish and miral machaber, won't even be mechaper on the averish and miral machaber either. I was quite a chiddush. I remember once, many years ago, around 30 years ago, I visited Eretz Yisrael. We stayed till the middle of Sukkot. So someone invited me to speak. Saras Mei Tshuva. So I said, this over the name Rav Soloveitchik. So they were all very surprised. They said, I never heard of such a thing, that Yom Kippur is not mechaper, even on Averis of Binalam HaMokam. If you didn't ask Mechila on the Averis of Binalam HaMokam, it's like a mikveh. Wow, that's quite a chidush. Okay, we should all be blessed with a Gemach Simetev, a good Gebenshtior, and we will join back. We will be starting the Shiurim, I think, the Tuesday after Sukkot, the Tzoy Sasha.
Thank you.
Rabbi.
Yes. Why is he called the
Ishi? What?
The He's called Ish E.T.
Ish E.T., he has to be designated Mibahod Yom. Has to be designated before Yom Kippur enters.
E.T. means time, correct?
So this Trias Trias has Mashtalech. Right. Correct. Right.
I didn't hear anything.
So is E.T. that is Decha Shabbos, if it's necessary to do, let's say the Sarah Mashtalech doesn't want to go.
So he, okay. I didn't do